I'm Tony Cox. This is Tell Me More from NPR News. Michelle Martin is away. Some legislators in Illinois say it's time to call out the National Guard to quell the summer violence in Chicago. Three police officers have died, and the total homicide count, 273 so far this year, is well beyond that of other major American cities. We'll talk about that in a moment. We'll go to Mexico as well on the program, looking deeper into the almost unbelievable violence there resulting from the almost unbelievably lucrative drug trade. And later, a trip down the mighty Congo River. You'll want to hear behind-the-scenes stories of NPR's Ophelia Quist Arctin's latest series. But first, the violence in Chicago, again at alarming levels.
Chicago police have been dealing with an outbreak of deadly shootings on the city's west side that have claimed five lives, including a 15-year-old
boy. Two children are shot and injured riding home with their parents after a visit to grandma's house.
A despondent mom is overcome with grief at the site where her 18-year-old son took his last breath.
Police execute a search warrant and are shot. Tonight, two suspected gunmen still in custody with charges coming.
Last month, an 8-year-old girl was killed when she was caught in the middle of gunfire. Just yesterday, two officers were wounded on the city's south side, and five were killed, and at least 18 others were wounded in a rash of shootings this past weekend. Joining us now to talk about the issues behind Chicago's gang violence, we have John Hagedorn, a professor of criminal justice at the University of Chicago, of the University of Illinois at Chicago. Also with us here in studio with us in Washington, Ron Hampton, retired police officer and executive director of the National Black Police Association. And we are also joined by Sudhir Venkatesh, professor of sociology at Columbia University and the author of Off the Books, The Underground Economy of the Urban Poor and Gang Leader for Day. Gentlemen, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Let me begin by setting it up this way. There was a controversial meeting in Chicago on Sunday involving the superintendent of police, the FBI, and a number of so-called gang leaders. And as a result of that meeting, there were, according to press accounts, threats made against those individuals who attended that meeting by law enforcement to say that if you don't do something about this, we will take it out on you personally. As a law enforcement person, Ron Hampton, is a meeting like that of value, or does it cause more problems than it solves?
It causes more problems than it solves.
And why is that?
Because if you want to get to the bottom of the problems that are going on in the community, then you need to bring all the parties together, all of the stakeholders together, and then talk about how you solve the problem. You need to talk about what the problems are, and then you need to agree upon a strategy after you've talked about that in terms of how we're going to address it. But if you don't address those systemic social issues, some of the things that some of my colleagues on the line will probably talk about, then we're not going to get to that. But one of the main things you got to address is that relationship between the police and the community. And that's not getting off on the right foot.
John Hagedorn, I'm going to ask you to give your response to that. But first, let's play a clip from the superintendent, Jody Weiss, about that meeting that took place on Sunday.
We brought in some of the leaders and just told them that they would be responsible for any activity by their group. The activity we're referring to is violence. And we told them if someone is killed, we will use every resource we have to target the entire group.
Professor Hagedorn, what about that? You heard the opinion of Ron Hampton, a retired police officer. I believe your point of view is different.
Well, I agree of what the nature of a meeting should be. It should be a discussion of all the causes. What the superintendent is doing is continuing a war on gangs that has started in 1969 by the old mayor, and this was another threat, and a threat to step up the warfare. They haven't solved the problem in 40 years and using warfare. Maybe they should start talking to people and one of those forces within the community to talk to, not to threaten, would be the gangs, of course.
Right. Now, there have been discussions of this kind, similar, in other jurisdictions around the country, and studies have shown, according to David Kennedy, the New York professor who was behind this 15-year study, that these kinds of meetings actually lead to a decrease in violent crime. Sudhir, what's your take on these kinds of interactions between law enforcement and the leaders of gangs at a time when there is an increase in gang violence?
Well, I'm actually in favor of what the superintendent is doing. I think it's a great effort. To try and reach out to these folks is imperative, and it actually happens every day. It happens every month in these communities. What they should probably be doing a little differently is to make sure that their community leader is present, and that's not happening. It's not the superintendent's responsibility. It's someone in that department at the local level who reaches out to clergy, to school principals and others, and that meets with these gang leader representatives and says, okay, these are our problems, these are our issues, this is what we need to move forward. That's a successful strategy that's proven in every urban context, and it should definitely be used in Chicago.
This is Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm Tony Cox, speaking with John Hagedorn, a professor of criminal justice at the University of Illinois at Chicago, with Ron Hampton, executive director of the National Black Police Association, and with Sudhir Venkatesh, professor of sociology at Columbia University. We are talking about the violence in Chicago. Some of the research, Professor Hagedorn, that you have been involved with, as I understand it, suggests that housing patterns in a city, public housing patterns in a city like Chicago, have something to do with the level of violence that is being experienced there. Can you explain that?
Well, when you look at Chicago and New York, the homicide patterns have been the same since Prohibition. And then they changed in the 90s, and the New York's shot down to really low levels, and Chicago's did not. And the key difference is that Chicago dismantled their housing projects, scattering people in gangs all over the place, creating all sorts of hostility. And New York invested in housing. People stayed in their neighborhoods and their projects, and the things settled down.
Sudhir, you have some experience in this area as well, do you not?
Yes, we've been following about 1,000 families who left, as John was saying, these housing projects moved into other areas. And what happens is you get a flood of families moving into a community. It could be a middle-class community, a poor community. They don't know their neighbors. The neighbors may not trust them. The local gangs start to fight one another, and there's really nobody there to conduct the kind of mediation and the conflict resolution. And the other thing we should remember is a lot of the communities that are experiencing these kinds of problems didn't experience them 30 years ago. So they're down in the far south side of the city or the far west suburbs. They don't have churches that provide services. They don't have YMCAs. So we need a philanthropic attention. We need the city to understand that these places don't have the infrastructure for social services and to help the police do their work more effectively. So they're not wastelands philanthropically, but they don't have the support necessary for youth who are there.
What about this, Ron, exporting crime from public housing into other areas where it wasn't, and how do you police that?
Well, that has happened in an awful lot of our cities because we've had mayors who have wanted to break up and public housing areas that have traditionally just had public housing, and then we see mixed dwellings, you know, a variety of different things, moving poor families into those kind of neighborhoods. And those, the problems that the two professors talked about are a manifestation of that. But one of the things that I would say is that the Chicago Police Department missed an opportunity. If they're really doing community policing, and I know we talk about that an awful lot, probably too much, but the fact of the matter is if they was doing community policing, they would have had some of these components, non-governmental organizations, community-based organizations, been there in the meeting to talk about these issues, because the professor from Columbia is right. If you don't have those entities in there to talk about the different things that are going on so people can take ownership of their community, it also is reflective of no relationship, if any relationship that the community may have with the police department. And they've sort of been on this position for some time.
Well, let me ask you this then, Ron Hampton, because if that's the case in Chicago, mm-hmm. you can't bring public housing back. You know, you're not going to bring right. the Robert Taylor Homes and mm-hmm. Cabrini Green back, nor would you probably want to. So how do you handle, from a law enforcement point of view, the gang problem that exists there right now?
Well, you put police officers out there on the street who understand that the foundation of organizing a community is working with the groups that's in the community, working with the people that live there, working on those problems, doing problem solving, bringing in the different stakeholders, getting people to take ownership of their communities and neighborhoods, and therefore then they begin to address the problem. Because most police officers don't live in our community, so the people who live there have to grapple with those issues. But if they don't feel empowered to deal with them, and the police cannot empower them. I just don't believe that. But what they can do is work with them in a way of dealing with the issues and use the power of their office to do the kind of organizing around the resources that they need to get the job done.
Well, Sudhir, in the time that I have left, which is not very much, this sounds, from what Ron is talking about, it is as much a political solution as a law enforcement solution. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. I tell you, in 20 years, I've met police officers who tell me one thing, and it's going to sound strange to the majority of Americans, but we have to remember these are poor, disenfranchised communities. They tell me that it's very, very difficult to prevent crime, but what I need to do when I'm in these communities is to make sure that the violence doesn't get out of control, and so they have to dampen it. But if they do that successfully, somebody has to come into their place, and that is a political question. Do we have the will and the resources to get there?
Well, certainly in Chicago, we have seen that there is not political agreement about that. The governor was in favor of these meetings that took place on Sunday. Some others are suggesting that that was not the thing to do, and in fact, just today, there was a news conference by some of the gang-affiliated people who weren't involved in the meeting on Sunday who were saying, look, this is what we do, you know, and don't expect us to change. And that meeting was a dirty trick, and you know it.
The superintendent has created a lot of problems for himself as well as for the city by going about it in the way that he has.
I appreciate the conversation, gentlemen. Our time has run out. Sudhir Venkatesh, professor of sociology at Columbia University, author of Off the Books, The Underground Economy of the Urban Poor and Gang Leader for a Day. Also, John Hagedorn, a professor of criminal justice at the University of Illinois at Chicago, joining us from Milwaukee. And here in studio with me in Washington, Ron Hampton, executive director of the National Black Police Association. Gentlemen, again, thank you all very much.